Yes, worth saying. Question time review. Question time, the 9th of March, 2023. The panel, Robert Jenrick, Conservative. Sarah Jones, Labour. Ken Clark, former Home Secretary. Yasmin Alibaye Brown, journalist. Richard Madeley, broadcaster, The Venue, London. Hereditary journalist Richard Madeley was born in Romford, Essex, in 1956. His father was journalist Christopher Madeley. Richard left school aged 16 and followed his father into journalism. By age 19, he had risen to be an assistant editor on his local rag and had moved on to the BBC, stationed at the edge of the world at your humble author's very own BBC Radio Carlisle. Perhaps surprisingly, maybe because he had never been to sixth form or university, Richard struggled to keep up with the rapier-sharp intellectual rigour of the great border city's glittering media elite. In a 2008 interview with Simon Hatterstone in The Guardian, Richard confessed, "I was terrified. Totally different breed of people. I'd sit with them at lunchtime with a pint in the Hilltop Heights Hotel, and I felt so diminished. I used to make an excuse and go and sit on the loo. I just couldn't hold my own." Determined to better himself, Richard's next steps forward were two steps backwards. Not only did he head south to Manchester, but even lowered himself to a position at Granada Reports. The rest, as they say, is history. Mr. Madeley is now the London media bubble's Mr. Morning Television, having replaced Puffin's favourite Penis Moron as a host on Good Morning Britain. As recently as Wednesday gone, Mr. Madeley's career hit another high as he gawped helplessly while feeding African cosplay fake charity proprietor Ngozi Fulani, not her real name, Marlene Headley, easy race card questions. Puffins are better informed. Regarding Carlisle's Hilltop Heights Hotel, no longer the Athens of the extreme far north, it houses illegal immigrants who don't want to be there. After one of the more recent riots, spokesman Ishmael, an escapee from war-torn Iraq, told the local rag, "We want the government to send us to another city. Doesn't matter what city it is, just anywhere else. We have all just got so much depression and anxiety from staying here, Carlisle. The living conditions are really bad. We just want to be sent to another place." Oh. Trapped in a Cumberland snug bar, unable to summarise Kurdigar like a local, perhaps we should kick illegal immigrant Ishmael and his pals back to where they came from. Before we go any further, Richard's toupee scores an impressive 8.67 on QT Review's Real Hair But Not His scale. Mr. Madeley's embarrassment, we don't have room for on this week's episode, include being charged with shoplifting from the supermarket and doing an Ali G blackface. Question one was about the forthcoming illegal immigration bill, especially regarding how effective a deterrent it might be. Robert Jenrick blamed the people smugglers. Enough is enough. The simple principle is that if you come here illegally, there won't be a pathway for you to remain. You'll be sent back to your own country or to Rwanda. Robert wondered about new legal positions required to align this bill with, in effect, European law. Yasmin tutted. Robert Jenrick was only on the programme 3 weeks ago. Poor sod. What did he do to deserve this? Perhaps living in a manor house in Herefordshire while representing a constituency in Nottinghamshire and charging you through the expenses system for all the travel. Sarah Jones, Labour, was concerned about the masses of clock-watching civil servants who live in her Croydon constituency, many of them processing asylum. She asked Robert to apologise for an email which must have referenced layabout civil servants kiboshing government policy. Robert refused. Sarah continued by saying she would vote against the bill and seemed to claim there'd be fewer illegal immigrants if more was spent on her overpaid, overpensioned public sector constituents. She blamed the gangs for the problem. A gentleman in the audience captured the zeitgeist of the Islington audience. Yes, Islington, at the home of the London Symphony Orchestra. He claimed, to applause, "The focus is on the victims, not the criminals. The criminals should be arrested and sent to the Ukraine." He didn't seem to realise, and neither did those clapping like seals, that the illegal immigrants are criminals too. Ken Clark hedged his bets by hoping the bill would be effective, but suspecting it wouldn't. He added the Labour Party were all at sea too. We have record net legal immigration anyway. There isn't an answer. Around the world, tens of millions are displaced, not least by war and economic breakdown. He hoped the bill would work, but he wondered of safe countries that could take all these people. Here's a solution for you, Ken. Send them straight back to France. Ken Clark, not his real name, the Right Honourable and Learned Kenneth Harry Clark, Baron Clark of West Bridgeford in the county of Nottinghamshire, CHPCKC, is sound on steam engines, but nothing else. An unhinged remainer, privately educated Kenneth, £16,000 per annum, Nottingham High School, graduated in law from Cambridge, Gonville and Gaius College and was subsequently called to the bar. Elected as Tory MP for Rushcliffe in Nottinghamshire in 1970, the 83-year-old remained an MP until 2019. However, he sat as an independent for the last 3 months of his tenure. No longer able to control his Brexit phobia, Clark voted against Boris Johnson's government on September the 3rd, 2019. Expelled from the party and disqualified from being a Conservative candidate, Clark stood down at the December 2019 general election. During his time in Parliament, Clark made his money from blue-chip directorships. Between 1998 and 2007, he was Deputy Chairman of British American Tobacco. No respecter of laws or borders, he was caught out in 2005 when litigation in the United States led to legal advice given to BAT being put in the public domain. The documents showed that while Clark was their deputy chairman, BAT had been involved in a lucrative and secretive tobacco smuggling operation based on the Caribbean island of Aruba. Hundreds of millions of dollars a year were forwarded from there to the firm's control centre in Switzerland. BAT was increasing its market share in countries such as Colombia and Argentina by illegally importing cigarettes and avoiding paying duties. Briefing notes and advice to Clark written by city lawyers Lovells showed that Clark was fully aware of the scam and therefore lied to an investigating House of Commons committee. The Guardian summary of the scandal and subsequent Department of Trade and Industry cover-up can be read here. More recently, Clark has been involved in another scandal. As a health minister between 1982 and 1985 and health secretary between 1998 and 1990, Clark was called to give evidence to the infected blood inquiry. His prevarication under questioning led to admonishment from the chair of the inquiry, Sir Brian Langstaff. Additionally, the Factor 8 non-profit organisation that represents the victims of contaminated blood transfusions during Clark's watch labelled his lordship disgraceful. Another scandal revolved around allegations that he groped a young man, Ben Fellows, during a visit to the Commons. Although Mr Clark was never charged, his alleged victim was. The jury disbelieved Mr Clark's evidence and cleared Fellows of perverting the course of justice. Yasmin wanted to speak and was astonished. These are human beings. She was choking, which ones assume. This is similar to fuming. You are trashing the reputation of... Given Lineker's Twitter comments about the 30s, we were all expecting her to say Hitler, but no, Winston Churchill. The seal clappers resorted to whooping. Yasmin was ashamed. We take fewer refugees. Uganda takes more than us. By an astonishing coincidence, Fiona had a relevant graphic. However, Robert pointed out, itemised per head of population rather than the total number arriving, and also showing only asylum seekers and not other kinds of immigrants. Ken joined in on Robert's side. Bruce wasn't happy her fake news had been exposed. Immigrants aren't immigrants unless they're asylum seekers, Bruce claimed. Yasmin became overexcited. She told us she is a displaced Ugandan Asian, which is a lie. Despite many promises to leave the country, including after the Leave vote, Boris becoming Prime Minister and Boris winning a working majority, Yasmin Alibaya Brown is still with us. Mrs. Alibaya Brown was born in Kampala, Uganda, in 1949. One of the Gujarati Jamjis, Yasmin's family were Ugandan Asians living in East Africa under the Idi Amin regime. After graduating from the exclusive Makerere University, alma mater of QT Review favoured George the Poet's mother, she left Uganda, but, despite the impression she sometimes gives, before her fellow Ugandan Asians had been expelled by Amin. A Master of Philosophy with a degree in literature from Linacre College, Oxford University. Yasmin is married to Colin Brown, a Quango landowner and former chairman of the Consumer Services Panel of the Financial Services Authority. A London lefty media bubble lifer, Ms. Alibi Brown has made a career out of selectively laying the race card, with some ethnicities, careful now, being less well protected by her than others. Richard announced himself as apolitical and agreed with everyone. He claimed that Mrs. Braverman's numbers were exaggerated, likewise Gary Lineker's. Richard wanted to be in the centre ground. He didn't think the legislation would be effective. Rwanda is a legal quagmire, and the legislation won't get through the courts because of foreign intervention, he forgot to mention. He thought the whole lot was posturing, a lot of hot air. Best to calm things down. He then made a massive mistake, claiming that sob stories in the London media will sway public opinion. No, they won't, Richard. You are talking to yourself in a bubble. Question two. Should Gary Lineker be shown the red card by the BBC? No, it's called free speech, said Richard. Lineker isn't a political commentator. He can say what he likes on his personal Twitter feed. If he wants to say something stupid, he can. His Germany in the 1930s comments were preposterous and an insult to minorities in Germany during the war and those who fought against the Germans. Sarah found the comparisons with 1930s Germany as being unhelpful. She called Lineker a national treasure. What? Sarah Jones is the Shadow Minister of State for Police and the Fire Service. Privately educated, Comrade Sarah, £18,000 per annum, old Palace of John Whitgift School, is a graduate of Durham University with a degree in history. Apart from that, Ms. Jones boasts of having lived her whole life in Croydon, currently residing in the posh Surrey end of South Croydon, where a three-bedroom rabbit hutch house cost £600,000. After university, Sarah became a senior civil servant, working for Mo Molam in Northern Ireland and for Geraint Davis when he was an MP for Croydon Central. She has run campaigns for the housing charity Shelter and for those old friends of Question Time Review, the NHS Confederation. The 50-year-old has also been on the board of Wandle Housing Association and was a communications director for the government's 2012 Olympics executive. Unconvincingly, Ms. Jones describes this laundry list of civil service non-jobs and Quangoland positions as understanding business as I've worked in the private sector. Far more interesting is the aforementioned John Whitgift, Archbishop of Canterbury between 1583 and 1604. Rather like a modern-day virtue-signalling London media bubble millionaire QT panellist, Whitgift lived rather well. Despite his concern for the poor, he travelled the land accompanied by a retinue of 800 horses. In the interest of equality, he accumulated a mammoth endowment that continues to this day and owns, amongst many other things, the Whitgift Shopping Centre in Croydon. A loony in the audience with a sort of bun on his head ranted and was then blanked out. When sound returned, Fiona apologised for the use of the F-word. France? Ken thought it out of proportion and too much about personalities. People should tone down what they say, especially regarding immigration. Rather, we need a solution. Ken liked Match of the Day and Lineker. Ludicrous to sack him. Yasmin wanted to control language. Rather than blame Lineker, she blamed Braverman and Sunak, brown-skinned people from Africa. She said W.H. Auden married a refugee from Europe so they could stay here. Is she would? Don't think so, Jasmine. Born on his family estate in Cheshire and went to Repton. What's she on about? She must quoted a few lines of Auden. Robert Jenrick agreed that language matters, but not Gary Lineker's, as he couldn't care less what he said, but added Lineker's comments about Germany were unacceptable. Question three attempted to lighten the mood, but this reviewer preferred to ponder upon what had come before. Puffins, including myself, may have been premature in their criticism of Mr. Sunak. The good thing about being a billionaire living in California is that you can't be bribed and need not give an F about a bubble in London. Free to fly the country by the seat of his pants while making the most of the lulls, Mr. Sunak and the Tories might be onto something. Stop the Votes has the same kind of feel to it as Get Brexit Done. Taking control from the European courts resonates with taking back control from the European Union. Most of all, listening to the uncontrolled, unlimited illegal immigration lobby bleating is very similar to listening to the Remainers' never-ending autistic screech. Mr. Sunak and the Tories may well be partway through turning their political fortunes around, or they may not. They must be hoping for more from Lineker, Alibi Brown and the loony end of the cutie audience spectrum. This weekend, the Conservatives can't believe their luck as the trade unions shoot the Labour Party in the foot the length and breadth of the land with refugees' welcome demonstrations. Might Lineker, the BBC, Bruce Dimbleby et al. Have to swallow yet another turd on general election night? Might Yasmin Ali-Brown yet leave the country? Interesting times.